It's Friday, March 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey everyone, thank goodness it's Friday, and boy, it has been one heck of a week. And yes, the tax man hath no fury. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but strap in. Got a great show for you. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, I want to welcome everyone to the show. Go ahead, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and you can, of course, check my website out at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the archives at the via the podcast link on the website. And, folks, I think this is show like number 461 or something like that. So we're on the march to 500, and it's going to be I'm actually going to start doing some cool stuff on our march to 500. But if you're a new listener to the show, hey, make sure you get over again to the website. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast either via iTunes or via the Zoom Marketplace or whatever your favorite podcatcher is, so that you can get the show downloaded directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And, you know, that's the best thing about this. If you're not awake and able to watch the show on the Ustream stream, you can get the audio portion the following day. Of course, I want to welcome everyone that's jumping in here on Ustream. Got a little bit different look tonight. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the glasses. And I just got out of the shower like 4 minutes ago. So I was rushing to get the show up and online. But we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Hey, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter as well over at geeknewscentral.com. That'll get you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox, and it will have everything I cover in the show tonight. Basically, all of the listener links, all of the content that I cover, and, of course, any little extra messages that I put out, and you'll see that available on the website as well. Hey, for a bunch of you, I sent the actual new design to Geek News Central. I sent the mock-up design to you in email over the last couple of nights. Nothing but very positive reviews of the new site. Everyone so far has been very happy with the new design. The new logo is really cool. Talked with the developer today. He was finishing up the template. So we're actually going to start the WordPress integration probably over the weekend. And then I'll be importing and having to get the site ready for launch. And I guess I don't know what I'm going to shoot for a launch day. I'll know when I'm into the transition, because I got to move a lot of stuff, I really do, and get the site set and ready. Maybe a week, maybe a couple weeks away from the new site launch, but I think you guys are going to like this new fresh design. Everyone so far has said it's really, really nice. I want to talk just a little bit about some things going on here before we get into the content tonight. Well, I tell you, I had went and, I'd already talked about you guys. I'd already filed my business taxes. And what I did last year was I changed my personal company. Podcast Connect was the company that I do the business under with Geek News Central and the podcast awards and everything else that we do. That's my wife and I's business that we own together. I changed that from a C Corp to an S Corp. And what happens when you change a business from a C Corp to an S Corp is really it kind of the money that the company makes basically automatically rolls into income that you show on your personal income taxes. And while I had wrote myself a paycheck throughout the year, and we had had some, basically some investments. We bought the TriCaster, bought some new video gear. We bought a number of things last year to keep the profits in check. I've kind of forgot to think about amortization and all that stuff where you have to amortize new gear, and the profit level ended up being a little bit more than I wanted it to be. So that trickled down into personal taxes, and oh my goodness. Yeah, the tax man. Hey, I have done my fair share I have done my fair share to help pay off the national debt this year. No, I got absolutely nothing back. I mean, nothing back. And had to write a check that just about made me want to squeal. It was, you know, about 1990, 1991, I did a small business for 2 or 3 years, and I had a really good year 1 year. And I was a newbie, had not taken out any taxes. So, of course, when back in 91, when the guy gives me my tax bill and it's like, you got to send Uncle Sam 22 grand, you know, I almost had a heart attack. So I, you know, having been through that experience back in 90, 91, I was prepared in 2009, you know, I think, and I'm good, you know, and I got the tax bill. And so when we get to the sponsor section later, I need you all to really to kick it up and help spread the word, because, ouch, it was heavy. But you know what? Can't complain, right? You know, it's, you know, when you have a good tax bill, it means you had a good year, but not that good. My goodness. You know, it's really kind of disgusting, because I look at the amount that I have to send them to the amount that I actually still have in my bank account, and I'm like, what is the deal? Why is this the big delta, you know? I talked a little bit in the last show, in case those of you that maybe tuned off after we got into listener comments and so forth, about signing one's life away as a podcaster. In other words, signing contracts. And some of you may have not heard it. So I would recommend that if you're a podcaster and you're considering signing a contract with a podcasting company, that you go back to the show on Tuesday and really kind of listen to the last 5 or 10 minutes of the podcast. I've got some good advice in there for you. Probably should have covered it in the first part of the podcast the last time, but I didn't. Okay, looking at my list here. It's just, you know, this has been my catch-up week, but there has just never enough hours in the day, and I think I'm just going to be slammed completely throughout the weekend. Matter of fact, Annie McCaskey sent me a link. He said, Todd, I got everything ready for the event this weekend for our roundtable. Make sure you get the email posting out, and that was supposed to go out this afternoon, and here we are, 8:48 in the p.m., and it's not out yet, but it'll go out tonight after the show. So I don't know what he's got lined up, but he says he's got a great lineup for the roundtable this coming Saturday. I think who we're going to actually have on is we're going to have some folks in that are going to be, I think United Plastics is going to be coming in, and this company, what they do is soundproofing for your home, or people that are creating media. So it's a pretty cool product line. And if you saw the video we covered at CES 2009 and 2008, I think they've got some exciting stuff to share with us. Got a couple of software companies that are going to be coming in. And then Jeffrey over at geekazine.com, he's going to be doing a presentation on something as well. So make sure that you're ready for our roundtable on Saturday. That's going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, and you can watch the live video stream over at techpodcast.com, or you can join our session with GoToMeeting. Of course, GoToMeeting, you know, if you spend too much time driving or flying to meet clients in person, stop letting travel costs eat away at your bottom line. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. GoToMeeting lets you launch sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions right from your computer. It's like meeting in person, but less expensive and less time-consuming. Meet from your office, home, or hotel room anytime, anywhere. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. And, you know, I've got every once in a while, when I'm going through this, Feed Demon decides it wants to update in the middle of the show, and it's nothing like going out and trying to push video and having 4,000 feeds try to update during the podcast. It's not good. But we hope you'll join us on Saturday. Should be a great event, as always. And I think actually one of the folks that's in the Ustream stream tonight, Mike from the Mike Tech Show, he's going to be actually coming on deck in case someone cancels, but I think Mike's going to actually do a presentation for us in April. But Mike did a great presentation on last month's roundtable, and that you'll definitely want to check out. Mike's always got cool stuff, and you can check his site out at miketechshow.com. Okay, let me look at my list here. Okay, again, Podcaster Meetup in Columbus. Okay, that is going to be going down. Let me give you guys the date. And I'm going to tell you where we're going to be located. The meetup is going to be on Thursday, March 26th. We're going to meet in Easton. I'm actually staying at the Easton Hilton that evening. We're not going to meet at the Hilton. We're not going to have dinner there, but there's a bunch of restaurants around that area. So if you're in the Columbus area or within striking distance, you're Cincinnati or so forth, and you want to come down, I'm buying dinner on Thursday, March 26th in the basically in Easton. I think it's the northern part of Columbus, close to the airport. So let us know if you want to come out to that. And then we're going to be having a podcast meetup in San Antonio. Let me look at the date on that one. That is actually going to go down on April 4th, Saturday, April 4th. We're going to be meeting in San Antonio, and then we're going to be meeting in Dallas, Texas on Friday, April 10th. And then we're going to be meeting up in Albuquerque somewhere around the 21st or 22nd of April. So I hope you guys can all come out and hang out with me. We'll have a nice time, just chat. I buy dinner, so that's the best thing about it. And get a free meal on the Geek here for being part of the Ohana. All right, as you guys know, on the last show, we started doing a session or a segment of the show on iPhone applications. I shouldn't say iPhone, mobile phone applications. And I've gotten some more submissions via email. We'll cover those. I've got some for you tonight later on in the podcast. We won't do them right here in this segment, because I want to get into the regular content. Thank you for the well wishes on me getting over the cold. The last show, I was just dying. Nose was running during the show, coughing. It was horrible, but it was one of those things, a couple days. And I tell you what, I used that stuff on that, it's that orange stick and spray. It's the stuff you're supposed to use before you get a cold. Worked really, really well. But I should actually pimp them, try to get them as a sponsor. Now, those of you on Ustream, you can see the glasses here, right? Well, I got an email from the company that makes these, and she says, "Hey, Todd, like to see you on the podcast wearing the glasses." I'm like, okay. So maybe we can entice a sponsor here. So I'm not actually going to promote the glasses tonight on what the company is. They're going to have to pay for that privilege. No, I am in search of some additional sponsors for the show. And if you guys have anybody that you have connections with, we definitely would appreciate that, and making a connection with us, and of course, reaching all of you guys and bring you guys good deals. So speaking of sponsors, before we get into the content here, hey, as always, GoDaddy, they're the main sponsor here. They are the ones that really help keep the lights on. GoDaddy.com has the deals out there that you want to get to when you're looking for domain names, shared hosting accounts, virtual dedicated servers, so forth. Get over to GoDaddy.com, and you can save 10% on your orders over there by using the promo code Todd. Geek5 will save you 15% on your order, and Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. As I'm looking at the video on Ustream, it's like I've got the camera like a little bit too high. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch views here so we get a side view, so you guys aren't seeing like half of my face, and you guys can see the kind of the side. You guys were watching on the pre-show when I was doing, I had the stream up for about an hour tonight, that blueberry sign back there. We had, I had the window open, and I got the nice trade winds tonight are blowing here in Hawaii, and that sign kept knocking over like three times. So I don't have any breeze in the room, so the office temperature is continuing to increase as we move through here. So I'm hoping that I don't get cooked out, but I have to come with a better way to hang that thing. Okay, let me go ahead and bring up Feed Demon. And by the way, we've got a lot of voicemails tonight. I haven't previewed these, so we may be in for a surprise at the end of the show. Of course, a number of emails. We'll get into that content at the end of the podcast. But lots of stuff going on this week. Of course, a lot of stuff out of South by Southwest. And actually, that's where some of my mobile apps that we're going to talk about tonight came from. People talking about cool stuff they were using out there. But you guys know I'm a big fan of flip phones, or flip cameras, right? flip cameras. We used those 2 years ago at CES to do our back channel coverage. My kids, I've got each of my kids have one, and they, basically when we went to Disneyland and for our vacation this year, our first family vacation in many, many years, the kids used those. I downloaded them every night and recharged them, and they were able to use them. And I've got one that I always have in my bag. You know, I figure someday I'm going to either see a UFO, or I'm going to be in Iraq, or, you know, something. I'm going to have to pull that baby out and record. And today, Cisco bought Flip and for $590 million. You do realize that the Flip camera is the number one selling video camera in America today. Isn't that amazing? And, of course, they got the Flip Minnow HD, the Flip cameras, really nice little cameras, and they work great. Can't be any more simple than a webcam. I think my neighbor, they're talking really loud out there. I don't know what's – they're never loud, but I can hear them. So, anyway, the they're just easy to use. So Cisco has really used some of that cash reserve they have, paying $590 million for the company, and we'll see what happens with the gadget now. Of course, Cisco's making some move into cloud computing as well. We're going to talk a little bit about cloud computing and some plans we have at Raw Voice to move into the cloud here a little later in the show. But yeah, and you know the thing that's cool about Cisco right now coming into cloud is who do they own? MySQL, right? And they have high integration with PHP. I'm talking about a major, major competitor to Amazon here. So anyway, I'm kind of precluding myself or getting ahead, cart before the horse. We'll get into that here in a little bit. As I'm moving away from movable type, as we're getting ready to make the grand switch to WordPress at Geek News Central, a move that has been in planning now for a long time, and I have essentially you know, threatened to do it for a long time. They're starting to add some cool tools finally. And today they released a social tool called Motion. And really what it does, it's kind of an aggregator. And I was looking at it a little bit. And what it reminds me of is there is, if you use Joomla as a CMS, it has an aggregation function that allows you to bring in different feeds and different content, and it works pretty good. And this kind of reminds me of kind of maybe they've copied that a little bit. So those of you that are WordPress gurus out there that know about all these plugins, you know, what is WordPress doing in this? Or they have some plugins you can use to bring in social stuff and, you know, where you can add some additional pages of sites where you can almost have kind of like a little Twitter screen stream of contents of people that are reading and aligned with and are members of the site. But if you're a movable type user or movable type pro user, you'll definitely want to check out this Motion demo site. I don't know what this is going to cost. I don't know if it's actually available today or not. Apparently it is because they've announced it. But pretty interesting development by the folks over there at Movable Type. Okay, Internet Explorer number 8 has been released, and everyone's pretty excited about this. And, of course, you can download that now for Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, Windows Vista, and Windows Server 2008. And the first version has been released in 25 different languages. You can get it in 32 or the 64-bit version. And I guess it's about a 20 meg download, not too big. And in for, you know, as far as internet size goes. And so far, pretty positive in the fact that they're saying that now Firefox is going to have to step up their game. So we'll see what happens with this. And those of you, I haven't upgraded yet. How many of you have upgraded to IE8 or were running the beta before? And let me know what you think about it. As always, on any time this show is online or, you know, continue being published, you can send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Those of you that are listeners outside of the United States, all you need to do is add a +1 in front of that number, and that'll get you into the voicemail hotline. And I had someone actually call the actual Skype, called me on Skype and left a voicemail. I really don't have a way. Maybe I do. Maybe I can try playing that now that I have this patched in. Maybe I'll try that tonight as well later on. But best way to do is just call that number via Skype, and then it doesn't hardly cost you anything if you're overseas. Most of people in the United States, you can call it free on your cell phones. Again, geeknews@gmail.com as well. There's an article over on BBC talking about major leap for faster computers. And, you know, scientists are always looking to push the speed on chipsets, on the way the electrons move around, and everything has taken place in the building blocks of chips. But super fast quantum computers are now a step closer to becoming a reality thanks to a breakthrough by scientists. And this happened in the UK. Looks like maybe even a Scotland, even a university in Edinburgh and Manchester universities. Probably one of my UK listeners is going to call me and say, that college is not in Scotland. Researchers have created a molecular device which could act as a building block for super fast computers. And what they say here is they've created components that could be used to develop quantum computers which can make intricate calculations faster than conventional machines. So they put a graphical representation of this. Of course, I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know what this means. But anyway, they're pretty excited about this, made major news on the BBC today. Those of you that don't like contracts with your mobile devices, well, AT&T says no contract iPhones are coming next week. And there's been some comparisons of what these rates are actually going to cost you for a no-contract iPhone. And it actually looks like, because it's so expensive to buy the phone, $599 for 16 gig and $699 for a 16 gig. And supposedly you have to, quote-unquote, be an AT&T customer already, even though they really don't go into that. No activation fee. You go month to month. The cheapest option is a 70-month, including voice and data access. And you're not going to have to commit. So I'm looking at this. So $70 a month, if it's the same price as a regular, how come I was reading, they said it was more? Well, maybe the folks here, because I always have three or four articles that are the same, you know, same topic, and then I narrow them down. But computerworld.com says that the plans are going to start at $70 a month. That's not so bad, is it? That, you know, you have to pay for the phone, of course. So you're going to pay $400 more for the phone than you normally would if you get the 16 gig. So you divide that out. You have to do the math and see what it breaks down to. But as much as I hate AT&T, I'll be honest with you. I'm still on my Gen 1 iPhone that, let me put it up to the, it's actually wrong camera. Let me give you the other camera. Is still hacked to T-Mobile. And I can't load as many apps on it. And it kind of sucks being behind because of the, you know, everything goes along with jailbreaking a phone. And with the T-Mobile network not being that quick, it just really is tempting. So I guess that's why I'm using my iPod Touch more for playing with apps and stuff. So this is a rub my chin type of moment thinking. But, you know, that's like selling out, you know. I vowed I wouldn't go with AT&T, but boy, it is painful waiting. And I know many of you who are on Verizon or on T-Mobile, you're all gritting your teeth as well, wishing that they would, they would break this, they would do away with this 5-year exclusive deal with AT&T. It's just driving me crazy. It really, really is. But we've always got the Palm Pre, right? So we'll see what happens here. Okay, the new mobile Firefox browser, and I don't even know how they're calling it Fennec, I think, F-E-N-N-E-C. I'm sure there's a different pronunciation to this, but Fennec is the mobile version of its Firefox browser. And I don't know what you can run it on. I guess you have to load it to a Windows mobile device or so forth. I'm going to have to get my hands on a device that can run this thing. But the folks are saying this thing looks really good. It says it's really fast, has good features like zooming, panning, scrolling. It embraces a feature a lot of you expect in a mobile Firefox, including the ability to download add-ons. And easy bookmark management, you can actually get access to the config file for power customization. And Mozilla has even put TraceMonkey in Fennec. It's the same JavaScript engine found in Firefox 3.1. So I guess we won't be seeing Firefox on the Apple iPhone, will we? Not if Apple can help it, that's for sure, especially if it's got JavaScript. But this is pretty exciting stuff here. And we'll see what happens with this as they get ready for a regular release. But, hey, if you've got a device that will support this mobile browser, you'll definitely want to check it out. And we actually are going to have to invest in something that can run it, or one that probably we can load it down a G1 or something, because we're going to need to make sure that our websites are compatible with the browser for sure. So this is a challenge. Anytime there's an update, you know, I was talking with Angelo today, said, you know, IE8's out. And he says, yeah, we was running the beta. He says, well, you know, there's a few issues with CSS. He said, but let me load the new release version up, see if they fixed all that. Because we have to tweak the websites every time, because there's always some little small thing that causes either, you know, text to be out of alignment or something not to work on the website from browser to browser. It's a pain. It really is. And but he says this time not so bad on IE8. He only saw a couple of bugs that he's going to have to work through. But just like anything else, we'll have to test this mobile browser as well. If you're a Gmail junkie, Gmail has can you believe it? We've had Gmail almost 5 years. April 1st will be its fifth birthday. I think it was that it's only been 5 years. Where did the time go? And actually, I'm thinking to myself, well, you knucklehead, this will be in October, 5 years you've been doing this show. And matter of fact, about 4 years to within 3 or 4 days of now was the show number that where I released announced my book. I think we did it on show number 69. Where I announced my podcasting book back in 2005. Boy, how time flies. And many of you have been with us since, you know, basically the single digits. And, of course, you're part of the Ohana of this podcast. And I want to thank you all for staying subscribed and putting up with me for, if you think about it, nearly 400 and maybe over 500 hours now, because the shows normally run an hour 15. So I've been in your ear quite a lot. So probably I've been in some of your ears more than maybe your wives in yours. You know, because, you know, us fellas, many times we come home and tune everybody out. So, but thanks for tuning in and staying subscribed. And for the ladies, I want to, of course, want to thank you as well. So anyway, these new Gmail features give users a chance to undo send, but you have to be quick. If you enable this in the Google Labs portion of the settings, how many of you have gotten through to an email and hit send and had that real quick gasp where you say, oh, man, I shouldn't have sent that yet? Well, if you catch it within 5 seconds, it'll stop the send. But if you go longer than 5 seconds, it's gone. I've done that a few times and then just hung my head in shame because I've sent something to somebody I shouldn't, or, you know, had one of those moments of, you know, anger, and, you know, you're pushing, you have that realization right then, oh, I shouldn't have done that. So they've got an undo send feature. How many of you have worked in a Exchange server, been in an office where there's an Exchange server, and someone sends an email out and they try to recall the email, and you get the message say email such and such has been recalled, but yet it's still in your inbox? That doesn't work real well. I've never seen anybody try to get an email recovered off an Exchange server. It just doesn't work. But anyway, Gmail says you click it within 5 seconds, you'll be able to recall it. Okay, a couple days ago, some smart aleck posted on a website that Twitter had come up with a way to monetize their show. And I monetize their website. I'm thinking about monetizing the podcast. Monetize Twitter. And they said, hey, here are the details of the account. And the company, here's the names they come up with. Sparrow, for $5 a month, you get 145 characters instead of 140. 5 extra random followers. Wow. 5 extra random followers for $5 a month. Dove was $15 a month. You get 160 characters. You know, you read this, you're like, within like 15 seconds, I was like, okay, this is a scam. But a lot of people got sucked right in. And talking about this eagle level where you have to pay $250 a month. You get 500 characters. Somebody sends me 500 characters in a Twitter, unfollow. And X thousand extra random followers, three celebrity followers. Oh boy, it was good. People got sucked in. And but it does go to show you that I think they have a model. If they come up with a way to package it to give someone just a little extra sweet deal. And I don't think they have to do too much. I think that they would. How many of you here? Let's do a little random poll from the show. You have to send this in via geeknews@gmail.com. What would you pay Twitter for $5? What little feature, if they would add that only the people that paid the $5 a month would get, what would you pay for? All right. Is there anything you would pay for? Would you not pay for anything? I think I'd pay for some features. I'd pay $60 a year for the privilege of having some extra cool stuff. I think I'd want it for the being able to dig deeper when I'm looking for information. You know, here's a little trick I found. Those that are creating media on the show. If I find a cool story, I'll go to Twitter and I'll go to search.twitter.com and I'll actually type the company's name. Like today, I typed Cisco and I found about a dozen blog posts that people had tweeted that they had written about the article. And it brought up a number of articles, was able to give me some alternatives. So I'm giving away a secret here, folks. I'm using Twitter now in custom searches like I used to use on Technorati, building custom RSS feeds that I update every 30 minutes that look for keywords that I use to build this show. And then that way I'm getting exposure to people's content that I have never gotten exposure to before through retweets, through replies. It's pretty powerful stuff, you know, because I have about 400 shows that I use in building this podcast on a twice weekly basis that I go through and find the content with. And their slant is generally always about the same. So if I can find four or five articles where I can do a kind of a comparison and pick one and give you guys the best of those four or five articles on that single subject, that raises the value for you guys when you're actually coming to the show notes and you're clicking on the link. You're going to go to an article that maybe is not from a major writer that you've never had exposure to, give you a different point of view. So this is something I'm trying here in the show. That's a little different spin I've taken in building out how we push stuff. So I think I would pay $5 a month for, or $10 or even $20 for a ability to have much deeper metadata on what's being tweeted, following stuff kind of like in a tech meme style where it's basically given me a list of the top 100 tech stories. I think it could be, and you know, this is where Twitter can really, I think they really can make a lot of money. Now, of course, not everyone's going to need this kind of data, but companies want to follow. And actually, I got a reply. This is another topic, and I think I've got it in the email notes. My connection at GoDaddy, I told you guys that they were doing customer service via Twitter, and I'd asked for him to send me some of the responses that they were getting from their customers. Kind of I wanted to see what they were doing, and I'll have some of those later. We'll talk about that in a show. So it shows how businesses are using Twitter to stay connected to their customers. So what will you pay $5 for? Geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, here's the next one. Space station ready to unfurl its massive solar rings. Wings. Not rings, wings. So two astronauts today successfully completed the first of three spacewalks, installing the final massive solar panels on the International Space Station. So now, today at 14:58 GMT, they're going to power up the array, and they're going to extend the panels. And this should be quite the nail biter as it is, because they've had challenges in the past. These things have been wrapped up in a box for a very long time, and they've had tearing before. So they've kind of got a way now to unfurl them. They do some shaking and rocking back and forth. And any of you that have watched any of the spacewalks where they were unfurling the solar wings. It should be a very exciting mission to watch. They're going to have astronauts, of course, out there watching and ready to assist. But these solar panels measure 35 meters by 11.58 meters when deployed, containing 32,800 cells that convert light, of course, into electricity. And once deployed, the panel will boost the outpost's full power generation from 90 to 120 kilowatts. I think that my generator is a 15K generator. And I'm thinking about 100. That's pretty good. They got some power up there, but they got a lot of stuff too. So they actually do pretty good on their power management up there. So anyway, we'll have a link up to this article in the show notes. All right, those of you in Australia, you guys just have to be absolutely outraged at what's going on with this blacklist. The secretive internet filter blacklist held by the communications watchdog ACMA. Someone please give me a rundown. Somebody from Australia, give me a rundown of this communistic organization called ACMA that had over 1,000 pages of banned URLs. Can you believe this? That they are forcing ISPs to place blocks so people that are surfing the internet in Australia cannot go to these sites. The list is quite bigger than what we've been led to believe. We were told it contained about 1,600 pages in its current inauguration. And ACMA reports have claimed as low as 1,300. So it's this is just horrible. Businesses are very, very upset. There's companies on, you know, like poker sites and so forth who have been blocked, and they're just outraged. And, you know, if people want to go, just what about freedoms of being able to do what you want on the internet? Now, of course, if you do something illegal, it comes with ramifications. But you know what? That's your problem. That's not my problem. That's not the government's position to interfere. If they try to do, you know, if they try to do something like this in the United States, who knows? Maybe they already are. But if they try to do something like this, oh my goodness, this thing would end up at the Supreme Court in about a New York minute. Why? How is this possible? The Australian government can tell ISPs to block these websites. How is this possible? I don't get it. I really don't. Someone down under is going to have to call the show and tell me what they're doing. I think this is just disgusting. And if you're not blogging about this and you're down under, you need to. You need to call these folks out, bring enough pressure so that this kind of activity is brought to a halt. All right, you know, how much buzz has Apple got over their products by putting everyone into a feeding frenzy on secrets and announcements of what's going to be brought to the table on new releases? I think we're all guilty of, you know, from a little bit being excited. And, you know, you got to say they are definitely masters at this game. The folks over at Microsoft, you know, that's pretty predictable what's coming from them because they release everything to everybody. And, you know, there's really no secrets. And but you got to admit, as much as some of you probably don't like Apple, they have got this buzz factor like rocking. They really do it really well. And, you know, you look at what happened with the iPhone 3.0 rumors and how it, you know, basically everyone kind of got a pretty good idea. But it's almost, at this point, I'm kind of like, okay, I already know what they're going to say. But still, we're all suckers. We get sucked in and have to read the content. They're really good at it, aren't they? I guess at this time, what I should do is let's talk about some phone apps. And these are four iPhone apps. A couple of them are kind of fun. And again, if you have a BlackBerry or you have a G1 or you have any type of a mobile app that you are absolutely in love with and you want me to talk about on the show, you need to send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. I'm available to talk about any of these, okay? And if I can run it, I will. If I can just, you know, do a review of someone's website, I'll do that. But how many of you fellas have been out with the fellas and had a few too many and maybe you were on a, you know, a trip with the guys camping or something, and you decide to break out the cell phone and call the missus after you've had a few too many? You know, that's really a bad decision. I'm guilty. I've done it. And my wife has luckily laughed at me the next morning saying, you know, you are talking about all kinds of crazy stuff about doing this, doing that. She goes, where's that brilliance when you're home sober? So there's two applications. It's called the Bad Decision Blocker and Don't Dial. And really what this Bad Decision Blocker does is you load it in your device and you tell it, don't allow me to call this number, this number, this number, the ex-girlfriend, the current girlfriend, the mother, the grandmother, you know, all these numbers you should not call after you've been having a few cocktails. And you set a time limit. Don't allow me to call those numbers for like the next 10 hours or 12, depending on how big of a night it's going to be. And what it will do is it will basically remove them from your contact list. Now, I don't know if you remember the number in your head and you dial it manually, I don't know if these actually block you from calling them. But these are probably a couple good apps that you'll want to load if you're going to go to a bachelor's party or something to that effect. So anyway, those are two cool ones. And the next ones are more kind of apps that you'll actually have some usage for in an ongoing way. One is called Pixelpipe, and if you're taking pictures with your camera, with your iPhone camera, and you're in a place where the connectivity is not real good, what it will do is when you get an area where there's Wi-Fi, you can batch upload with this application. This one's pretty cool. It really is. Context, C-O-N-T-X-T-S. And what it allows you to do is you tell someone, someone wants your contact. You say, okay, just message this number and my name. And basically what it is it sends the contact data back to them. As soon as that SMS message hits the phone, it sends a contact data back, which can automatically be pushed into the phone list. So it's C-O-N-T-X-T-S. A couple of really cool apps here. And I'll have links to some of the articles that talked about these in the show notes tonight. And one of them was from Robert Scoble, and he was talking about some stuff, and then there was a whole bunch more in the actual content list, so I'll let you guys check that out. All right, if you're an aspiring PHP developer, I've got a link to 100 PHP tutorials for programmer wannabes, and you can I'll have this up in the show notes. You can check it out. I don't know if I talked about it on the last show, but Angela was busy, and we've opened OpenID to the Blueberry site. We're going to have it on Tech Podcast and Podcaster News here shortly as well. But you can sign on to the community at blueberry.com now with your OpenID. In other words, your Gmail account or Yahoo or AOL or whatever it is. And you can align your current account with your OpenID account without overwriting one. So definitely use that when you're over there. All right. Every year when we go to CES, we know that within the first 30 hours, basically we get to CES before all the other people do. We're there doing kind of the early press events. And really those first day and a half, the connectivity is pretty good. And then soon as the massive 100,000 or 200,000 people show up in Vegas, just the connectivity just goes completely in the toilet. Well, over on Doc Searle's weblog, he talks about service failure inversion. And I guess he's never been to a major event where there was just a huge failure of all services. In his hotel, he said, hey, the first night was pretty good, but after that, could hardly get a connection. No internet connectivity, and to top it off, basically AT&T and their mass failure with people being able to make phone calls or get data connection. He says, I was like here I am at a digital event, the biggest digital event of the year, supposedly, and I have no digital connectivity. Oh, it's ironic, isn't it? Hey, Doc, welcome to the club, my friend. Why do you think we go through so much pain and so much agony by going to venues that we know have a big, fat internet pipe? Because we know there's just no connectivity once the geeks arrive in town. Venues would do well, and hotels would do well, because if I was a hotel in Austin, and I was the manager of that hotel, I would put in a big, fat pipe. I mean, it would be fat. And even if it cost me a number of dollars, you know when you advertise that, You know how much more you can charge for your room charges per night? I'd almost pay anything. Really. Almost anything to be in a hotel where the internet connectivity is huge. So let's say, you know, in Vegas, usually like the nightly rate's like $400. It's expensive. But if I had access to a big fat pipe like we had at some of the venues, it would make me grit my teeth, but I'd pay $800 a night to have fat pipe. Absolutely. For a big fat internet pipe, absolutely. Because it's that transitioning time when you're moving around. And when you need internet connectivity, it's not a time to be screaming and pulling your hair out because you don't have it. But I think if I was a hotel in Austin, I would definitely put in whatever service would need to be for that time during these big events. And then I would advertise it like crazy and make sure that I didn't fail in the process. You could have news organizations coming in paying huge dollars, huge, huge, huge bucks. You could almost have an event in your hotel if you had that type of connectivity. So it might be a good consulting business for someone that's living in the Austin area. All right, how many of you are familiar with El Gato? Elgato. I'm a big fan of El Gato. Matter of fact, where's my little El Gato device? It's normally here on the desk. Must be in my bag. I have a 1080i Turbo .264 Elgato. Well, Elgato has shipped a 1080p Turbo .264 HD video conversion dongle. And really what this dongle does, you stick it in your MacBook, and it allows you to encode at a much faster rate. It kind of offloads some stuff from the MacBook processor. And this is really a good product. And the price on it is $149.95, and it will speed up your processing much, much quicker. So you Mac users out there, they're doing a lot of video at home in a 1080p, you'll definitely want to check out the Elgato Turbo .264 upgrade. This is the first upgrade in about 2 years. Hey, you're always looking for cool stuff. And, you know, being a geek, I'm always looking for the cool gadgets. Well, Gizmodo's covering a tissue box spy camera. It watches you as, you know, if you're moving across the room. It's just a regular, you know, tissue box, but it's got a camera in it that will activate when there's motion, or you can set up to record at a, you know, for a specific amount of time. You load and you put up to a 16 gig SD card in it. It records at a resolution of 720 by 480, and it works real good in even low light situations. So it's one of those things where you have to use it carefully, and you definitely would not want to use it in an inappropriate manners. But for $600, you can get one of these devices, stick it on your desk stand or whatever you have, a mantle or something in your house, and definitely keep an eye on things. So $600 for a tissue box spy camera. So, you know, the bad thing about these, first thing I saw when I first saw this, what do they show in the little advertisement? The first window they showed, of course, was the bedroom. And I thought, that's not even being subtle. And these days, as much of that nasty stuff's going on where people are recording people when they shouldn't be recording them, it makes you wonder if these devices should be forced to have some sort of a red light, some sort of indicator when they're recording. It is an interesting dilemma. So what do you guys think about the devices like this that have these spy cameras in them? Should there be some sort of audible beep, or what should be the indication that they're recording? Because, you know, a lot of videos being taken and ending up on the internet that should not be, and people put in compromising positions due to this type of activity. And of course the fellas or the gals that are doing it are, you know, it's just evil to do that. And it's a trust issue, but boy, oh boy, with this stuff as small as it is today, you just never know. And of course, there was something I saw on one of the news channels where some guy had placed one of these things in a different one in a restroom somewhere. So just so gross, really gross. All right, over on Niall Kennedy's weblog, Measuring Efficiency in the Cloud. And Angelo and I were talking quite a bit about Cisco's introduction. Actually, not Cisco. It was Sun. What was I thinking about? Sun's some of you already have emailed me and said, Todd, it wasn't Cisco that's introduced the cloud. It was Sun. Sun's introduction to cloud computing. And how could I mess that up? Boy, oh boy. Just smack me, okay? Talking about how everything now is measured on an instance. Basically, you use a little CPU, you use a little memory, you lose a little bandwidth, you have some hits coming to the site. You know, billing happens in micro segments, but at the end, you end up with a big bill, you know, and it may be cheaper than a current server bill, or maybe, you know, you may have some cost savings. And you're talking about being able to scale machines up on a, you know, basically a click of a button is very appealing when you're building web services out. And our plan is to start moving many of the resources we have at Raw Voice onto cloud computing, because we think we can save some money in server utilization, and then add it just as we need it. You know, if we get an alert that our traffic's up and we need to add more instances, we can auto scale. And it just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it takes a while to roll a server out and bring it into a group and, you know, mesh it in and all the stuff that goes along with that. But not only is it smart from a business sense, but there's also a green component as well. Because really, when these cloud computing, you know, let's say you've got in the cloud, you've got 10,000 servers. And that company knows how many megahertz it has to sell, how much bandwidth it has to sell, how much RAM it has to sell, and it parcels it out piece by piece by piece by piece to all the companies that buy that, and they know that's what they're going to get. But just like any other service, there's a web and flow of utilization. You know, some of the servers may be running hot. You know, in UK, you know, the traffic to UK websites really crank up a lot sooner than it does for United States. And moving to Japan, there's this whole shift. And companies can be real smart and get maximum utilization out of those machines because they can put some of the customers from Japan on a part of the cloud, some of the customers from the United States on another part, some of the customers from the UK on a different part. And, you know, just basically that machine or those series of servers can stay completely maximized at all times. And really, they're using the same amount of power. So there's this green efficiency in cloud computing. Now, as compared to our servers that we have up running right now, what do? They're on drawing power 24/7, even if the hard drives are just sitting there still. They're not efficient, okay? And there's times when we know that the machines are doing nothing. You know, this time of night, 9:30 is the time here in Honolulu. That's 3:30 in the morning on the East Coast. Traffic to those sites are down. It just is. It's just the way it works. And so the machines are not working real hard. So this is kind of the thing we're thinking about, too, within the company. You know, maybe we can be, you know, a little environmentally friendly by moving some of our stuff to the cloud and, you know, just our little bit apart to help out, you know. And plus, I think we can save some money in the process. Even if there's a trade off, you know, we can be a good neighbor and help use less kilowatts and, you know, keep killing more trees and everything else that goes on. So I have to share this with you over at GigaOhm. They've got a link to worst states in which to start a business. Now, there was a big article that came out. I heard about it 2 days ago. And Hawaii is ranked 45th. As the worst state to do business in. And of course, after we've had this big incident with, I don't even talk about it on the show, but basically the environmentalists were able to shut down this thing that we had called the Hawaii Super Ferry. They were able to win this court decision. Just disgusting how it all ended up. But anyway, Hawaii is 45th on the list, but I was pretty shocked that California was even worse than Hawaii. It was 48. But, you know, for those folks that are in South by Southwest, you should stay in Texas because Texas is pretty good as compared to Hawaii and California. Definitely not good places to do business in. And matter of fact, you guys just check this out. And I got a lot of stuff. We'll see. I'll have to go and keep on going here. I'm going to run out of time for the show tonight. But let me I'll just try to remember it. You guys are on Ustream. You guys make sure you remind me at the end of the show to tell you a story about GET. Okay, I'll share that with you here a little bit later. So don't start a business in California. Don't start one in Hawaii. And the tax man proveth that they were ranked 48th here. Okay, I got the article from Scobo on South by Southwest and SMS and location explosion. Have that linked up. Got an article here by Nielsen. Twitter's growing really, 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 really fast, and this blows me away. Twitter's rank number one for growth. From February of 08, they went from, I guess this is number of users? Can't be. 475,000, yep, okay, it is. 475,000 users in February of 08 to 7,038,000 users in February of 09. 1,382% growth. That's just shocking. Facebook, 20 million to 65 million, 228%. Wikia, 1 million to 3 million, 172%. Twitter is king, 1,382% in growth over the last year. It should not come as any surprise. Okay, Apple adds HD movie rental downloads to iTunes. So good luck making sure you don't bust your caps, those of you who are on Comcast. Rentals are going to cost $4.99 in HD down. Oh, okay. Rental cost is $4.99 for SD. HD downloads, give me a break. $19.99? Hell, I guess it's cheaper than buying a Blu-ray. Okay, that's what it's going to cost you. So they're going to have a bunch of programming available in HD via iTunes, okay? All right, a little of exploration going on by people that have got 3.0 pre-release of the new iPhone. There's a little bit of indication that there could be as many as 6 new models coming out for the iPhone. So we'll keep a watch on that. Have that link up in the show notes. And let me see. What else have I got here? Oh, cool article on a do-it-yourself. How to set up an auction using Craigslist and Google Docs. This is really cool. You want to control your auction? Do you want to go on eBay? Which, is anybody selling anything on eBay anymore? I buy some stuff from time to time, but I haven't sold nothing on there. But Craigslist is a way to sell stuff local, right? Have a local auction? Yeah, that's the way to go, right? So do it yourself. How to set up an auction using Craigslist and Google Docs. This is innovative. It looks kind of cheesy, but guess what? It works. And you maximize the number of dollars you're selling your stuff. And people locally can come get it. Yep. All right. A little bit more on Jason Calacanis and why he put this big offer out to give Twitter huge amounts of money to be in the suggested subscribe list. He basically was going to use that. If they would have bought on and basically took him up on his offer, he was going to drive – they were going to Twitter the top Mahalo answers. Now, if you've been over at Mahalo.com, there's a thing on Mahalo that you can ask them a question, and it will give you an answer. So they were going to put in Twitter the top questions of each day as a link to drive 1 to 2 million page views a day. I guess as he was planning, 1 to 2 million page views a day into Mahalo. And I thought, that dude's smart. And he's got the money to be able to do it. So I'll let you guys check this out. Smart, smart stuff here. And I don't know what you feel about Mahalo or the Ask Me Question thing on Mahalo, but he's got something going on here. He's got a pretty good plan. He does. Okay, I'm going to link you to an article over on Boing Boing talking about these cubicles that people are living in Japan. And when you see them, it's in an internet cafe, and this guy's gotten really smart. Hey, I didn't listen to the video or audio on this. I hope this guy's not – do I have time to do this? I probably don't. We'll save this to the end. I've got an audio from a customer service call with a Verizon rep. Wait till you hear this. The people don't know how to do the math. I got a cool picture as well on Boing Boing I'm sharing with you that kind of talks about death of one of the predominant industries in the United States. You guys will get it when you see it. those of you that are on Macs, hey, be aware that over the past few days, people have been adding new software to the Metasploit toolkit used by security researchers and criminals. It supports Mac attacks, and they're saying now that some of these exploits are getting real good for Mac OS X. So be very, very careful out there. Watch your Mac installs, because you are now got a big target on you, because they've proven very easily to be able to attack some machines. There was like a hack that happened with Safari a couple days ago. It took like 3 seconds for this guy to own this Mac just by the guy going to a website, okay? So I have this linked up in the show notes as well. Those of you that are not familiar with Google Voice, found an article that was actually published earlier in the week that kind of shows you the interface and some of the cool stuff that's going to be available with Google Voice. If anybody gets a Google Voice invite, please don't forget me, okay? I'm looking for one. I really am. And I know that they're still forthcoming. Some more cool stuff from Gmail. They've got some Google Labs stuff. You can add some features where you can get previews for different types of content that comes in email. I have that linked up. And the last thing is a review about Four Square Scores. It's about basically, it's kind of a mob type thing. It basically says, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. And it kind of hooks you up with people in the same area. I'll have that linked up in the show notes for you. That was a popular thing at South by Southwest. Okay. All right. We're here at the end of the regular content tonight. I've got to get into the voicemails before we bust the time limit here, and haven't reviewed these, so these may end real quickly if they're not actual show voicemails. And those of you that are on Ustream will get a kick out of this, because I'll go back and edit it for the rest of the folks that aren't here live. But let's go ahead and get into the first voicemail. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. This is Mike Dell.
Hey, Mike.
Mike Dell's World Podcast. And your friend from Michigan. Anyway, talking about the Mac PC thing, Crooker Tom there was saying that the Mac OS is superior. Well, you know, it's good. I'm one of those rare individuals that use all three, Mac, PC, or Windows, and Linux on a regular basis. At work, we use mainly Macintoshes. At home, I use mainly Windows Vista, but I also have a Mac laptop that I use when I travel. And they're all good for different things. One nice thing about the Mac is it just works. You know, I don't use the antivirus software. I mean, I'm sure there's some viruses out there for the Mac, especially now that it's getting a bit more popular. But, you know, I just never felt any need for that. But anyway, and about everything I can do on Windows, I've found a usable program for the Mac. With the exception of my Olympus voice recorder, which is a bone of contention. Anyway, keep up the good work.
All right, cool. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. And by the way, we got a call to catch up with you and talk about some opportunities as well. So hopefully we're going to be doing that next week when I'm on the East Coast. So, all right. Hey, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And hey, take care. And you should have gave your ham radio call sign. You know, there's a lot of hammers, I'm sure, that listen to this show. Okay, let me go ahead. And this next one is a short one, so I don't know who this is from.
Hey, Todd, Mike Dell again.
Oh, it's you.
I forgot to ask or take a stab at guessing what the test you took was for. Wouldn't happen to be getting a ham radio license, would it?
No.
Well, maybe not, but that would be a geeky thing for you to do.
Well, it was.
See you later.
It was an FCC test. Oh, so that gives you any. I'll let you think about that one for a little bit.
The final call before we close the file. Press 1 to speak with a representative now about your vehicle.
Oh.
Press 2 to be removed from the follow-up list.
You know, as you guys can tell, I've been sharing these little wacky calls that have been coming into the podcast from these automated voicemail systems. Real effective, aren't they? Now, how do you automatically program a voicemail system to click 2 to be removed from the list? You can't. And obviously, they don't know. I don't do any other business on that line. That's just the line that I use to get your guys' show feedback. Ridiculous. I'd like to get all those. We got to put that. I ought to put that phone number on a do not call list and see what happens. Okay, let me go ahead and play the last voicemail. 45 seconds. We'll see if it's one of those wacky calls again. Hang on.
Hey, Todd. It's Bennett from Philly.
Hey, Bennett.
I'm calling to ask what antivirus / spyware do you use? I only use AVG after having a fallout with Norton because I had a virus problem that Norton couldn't do nothing about. I installed AVG, cleaned out everything that Norton couldn't. And Norton uses up a lot of resources. So just calling this, wonder what do you use personally and what combination of stuff do you use at all? I really haven't had no problems with AVG ever since I got it. Everything's clean on my system, but I don't know about, you know, phishing problems or anything like that. Thanks. Want to hear your opinion. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thanks for calling. And, you know, I've just used Norton for years. Been happy with it, and it gives me no problems. I don't have any bugs on my machines. I use a couple of different programs from time to time. I don't even know if I have them loaded on the main page. I think I use CC Cleaner or something like that once in a while. Run it maybe once a week or something, but I have had no problems. And knock on the particle board here. For a very long time, I've not had a problem. So I guess, you know, I'm lucky, but I just don't click on things that are I shouldn't be clicking on. Okay, let me double check here and make sure we're still good on. Yes, it looks like we're okay still on the stream. Yep, we're still up. You guys notice I moved the camera on Ustream? You guys see that? Okay, let's go ahead and get into the actual voicemails. Not voicemails, emails. And then I may have a little time at the end, I don't know, to play this one Verizon customer support call. Hey, I got an email from Mike. And he wrote on my Facebook wall. He said, hey, Todd, I just used Todd20 over at GoDaddy. Renew my shared hosting for another year and save good money. Yes, of course. 1 year. Todd20 got you 20% off. Congratulations on that. Thanks for using the code, too. Hey, I got an email. This is the email I got from my very high contact over there at GoDaddy. And I had asked them to send me some stuff. People had responded in Twitter. And see if I can do this without revealing the person's name. It says, called customer assist with WST and QBC. She posted to Twitter at... She says, thanks so much for your help tonight. Who knew I could tweet one question and get a phone call from GoDaddy with help? Thanks for support in the something dumb area. I got a call from, and he was great. You were right about the support. I guess this was more than one. Customer asked for advice when setting out to use WordPress on GoDaddy. I linked to the new WordPress guide, and he replied, you guys rock. I've used you for a long time, expecting good things from this. Another person said customer site was going down intermittently. He stayed on Twitter that he knows GoDaddy scans Twitter for complaints and that he was waiting to hear back, but he hadn't contacted the GoDaddy guy directly. After I replied saying that we'd take a deeper look at his crime, he replied, thanks so much. Sent me a tweet as expecting, and if he'd get that with other companies, he said, I wish I'd get that with other companies. So anyway, just a couple of cool things they've done over there. So if you're having problems with your GoDaddy account, you don't have to send me information anymore. Of course, I always encourage you to do so. But make sure you Twitter the GoDaddy guy, at GoDaddy guy, okay? And they'll get busy with you. And he sent me a bunch more here, but I'm not going to read them all on the show. But I do want to open up the job line. This is very important. All of you need to listen up here. Got a person that's part of the Ohana who needs a job, okay? Brian sent me an email. As always, if you're looking for a job, geeknews@gmail.com. This is the job line. You can we'll put something out for the audience. If you guys got a job for Brian, you need to email me, okay? And I'll get you in contact with him. He says, hey, Todd, I've listened to your podcast for about a year now. I've never emailed you until now. Sorry it took me so long, but I really need your help. I was let go from my job yesterday as a senior search engine optimization strategist. I don't hold shame admitting this because my wife and three kids can't afford me to be embarrassed about losing my job. I've ranked everything from real estate websites to national brands. I cannot say who because of my non-disclosure agreement. I can do everything from SEO training, management, consulting, along with the grunt work like link development, SEO copywriting, and on-page SEO. I'm honest about expectations and don't promise anyone the sky or rankings. I have a website, sourcesurge.com, but I'm looking for a long-term permanent employment. I currently reside in the Riverside, California area, but I'm willing to relocate. This is smart, my friend. You got the right attitude. If the company pays for it, sorry, I'm broke. Of course they have to pay to move you. So I have about a month's worth of savings in the bank, and like so many other Americans, I was living from paycheck to paycheck. Even if the company doesn't have any SEO positions open, I can build websites and have learned C pound and ASP.NET for the past year. I'll even take a junior .NET position if you have any available. I'm a quick study, analytical, and have great personality day in and day out in the workplace, and not to mention a geek. Thank you, Todd, for taking the time to read this, and I appreciate how personal your podcast is. I consider myself part of the Ohana and hope you keep doing the podcast for many years to come. I have attached my resume in case anyone is interested in my qualifications. Brian, you can check Brian out again at sourcesurge.com. His personal blog is Brian, Bryan-Siegel, Siegel, .blogspot.com. And I got his telephone number here. I won't give it out over the podcast. But if you have a friend or anyone knows that needs someone in this type of work, we got an Ohana member that needs a job. So email me, okay? And see if you even have something part-time for him, that would work as well. And anyone else, please send me an email if you're looking for a job. That's what we're here for, to do a little networking within the audience. Okay, got an email from Sam. Hey, hoo-hoo, I'm looking forward to the podcaster meetup in Albuquerque. Let me know when you get the additional details. So I will, Sam. Don't worry. I'll get that for you. And Jim, I got your new address as well. Got an email from Jim as well telling me about the bat stowaway. Did you guys hear about the bat that went to hitchhiked on his way to space? I don't know if he made it or not, but it is kind of an interesting story to think up. Got an email from Ronald. Hey, he says, hey, Todd, I want to meet up in Albuquerque. Count me in. So, Ron, don't worry. I'll let you know. I heard there's like a real cool place to go eat in Santa Fe. I'd love to come up there and eat in a restaurant I saw on TV the other night. It's a breakfast place, and I recorded it, so I know the name. If I get any time and to stay in Albuquerque for a length of period, Ronald, I'm coming to Santa Fe, and we're going to breakfast at that place. I got an email from Andrew. It says, hey, Todd, it's Andrew from Belfast, UK here. I did the Todd from the ISS intro a while back. I heard that you're looking for guest bloggers, so here's an entry that you may be interested in, and I'll put this up for you, Andrew. Appreciate you sending that to me. Have that linked up in the show notes. Got an email from Trucker Tom saying, hey, Todd, here's another 158 TV stations that are going to be killing analog early. It's a link on apnews.myway.com. I have that linked up in the show notes. I got I don't know if this guy's a listener. Ron, if you are a listener of the show and you're sending me this OLED info, on the next email you send me, let me know that you're a listener of the show, okay? Because what I think I'm getting here, folks, is I think I'm getting some people that are submitting stuff to me as listener comments that maybe not be listening to the show. So, Ron, I'm not going to talk about this article until you let me know you're actually a listener. I'm on to you, maybe. I hope not. I hope you're a listener. If you are, I'll come back and read it. Got an email from Tim. He said, Todd, I thought you'd get kicked out of the cost of the FCC list for TV station equipment. It's amazing what you've been able to accomplish with current technology and reach so many more people across the globe than any local station could. Keep up the good work. And wait till you guys see this stuff. It's amazing. It really is. Also, we got an update from Michael on his Dell Mini 9 that he has built into a Mac. Todd, I got the Dell Mini 9 that I wrote you about last time. It's worked out quite well. They may come a time when Apple comes out with something, but they'll never play in the $400 laptop area. And I'll have the link up to his blog article about doing this conversion. Okay, boy, I want to play this voice. I want to play this for you. If but we're already out of time. And how long is this thing? Let me look at the length. It's just too long. I can't do it. I'll do it on the next show. I have the link up in the show notes. You guys just want to listen to it, you can. You guys got to listen to this Verizon support call. You're kind of just like, especially if you have any minor understanding of just simple plus and minus on mathematics, I think you'll get a kick out of it. Okay, folks, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, +1 619 342 7365. All right, I'll be with you for a regular show here in Honolulu on Tuesday. Then we'll be doing the next show from Columbus, Ohio. That'll be on Thursday, same night as the meetup. Probably be a late recording, or maybe a Friday morning recording. I'm not sure yet. All depends, because I got a very, very full schedule over that weekend. And we're talking more about what we're going to be doing out in Columbus as well here on the next podcast. But I want to thank all the HANA for staying subscribed. I want to thank everyone that hung out today with me on Ustream. It's been fun. And spread the word about the show. Spread the word about the sponsors to help keep the lights on. And stay subscribed. And thanks to the old HANA again. Everyone take care. And until Tuesday, everyone take care. And aloha.